absentee votes have been tallied in Skagway, and summer bear problems prompt Skagway agencies to renew their focus on prevention. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. After counting about 90 absentee ballots from Skagway's municipal election, it looks like the $6 million senior center bond proposition was approved by a margin of just 4 votes. The results have not yet been certified. That is set to happen at tonight's Borough Assembly meeting, which starts at 7 p.m. The results from the Canvas Board meeting today show the bond question with 227 votes in favor and 223 against. The absentee votes don't change who was elected to the Assembly and School Board. Orion Hansen and Tim Cochran are still the top vote getters for Assembly. Jamie Bricker and Darren Belisle won the School Board seats. KHNS will have more on this story in tomorrow evening's newscast. This summer was rife with bear problems for the Skagway area. 2 food-conditioned bears were put down on the popular Chilkoot Trail. In July, a Skagway police officer accidentally shot a brown bear with a lethal slug instead of a rubber bullet. The police chief later apologized for the hazing attempt gone wrong. Recently, Skagway officers and National Park staff went through a training to get better prepared if the bear issues continue next summer. The National Park Service hosted the bear safety training for police and park staff. Ben Hayes is chief of interpretation for the Klondike Gold Rush National Historical Park. He says this type of training has happened before, but the Park Service hopes after this summer's frequent bear problems to make it routine.
We all want to protect the bears in their environment and provide for a safe visitor experience. And we're on the path to doing that effectively next year.
Hayes says this year was a learning experience for the Park Service and Skagway Police. In June, Parks Canada shot 2 bears on the Canadian side of the Chilkoot Trail. A bear had broken into a food storage cabin at the Lindeman City Campground. Park staff said the bears they shot were displaying food-conditioned behavior, making them a threat to hikers.
You know, it certainly was unprecedented on the trail to take a couple bears at Lindeman City. That was in the history of the Chilkoot Trail, it's never happened before.
Hayes says he doesn't know for sure how the bears became food-conditioned, but he heard multiple reports of people in vehicles feeding bears on the South Klondike Highway.
The speculation was that the bears, they have a very wide range. They perhaps became food conditioned through interactions with people along the South Klondike Highway and ranged to the nearby Chilkoot Trail and associated people and human structures with food and broke into the ranger cabin at Lindeman City.
Later in the summer, a brown bear was displaying threatening behavior near a Dyee campground. A Skagway police officer at the scene decided to try to scare away or haze the bear. But instead of shooting the animal with a rubber bullet, the officer fired a lethal round. The bear was severely injured, but it hobbled off and survived for about 2 weeks. That's when a park ranger who came across the wounded bear decided to put it down. Skagway Police Chief Ray Leggett said the officer who injured the bear mistakenly loaded the lethal slug instead of a non-lethal bullet. Leggett took responsibility, saying he shouldn't have sent a brand new officer with no hazing training to the scene.
I take responsibility for making sure these people are trained and doing their job, and you know, it's an area that I messed up on.
Now, three Skagway officers do have preparation on how to properly scare off a bear. Hayes says that was just one part of the recent training.
It was both the kind of 30,000-foot view of bear management along with the field exercises. So I think it was both something that's comprehensive and informed by the summer incident.
Hayes says the July incident especially motivated the Park Service to get together with the police department and Alaska Fish and Game to revisit Skagway bear management plans. He says next summer, as seasonal workers start coming back to Skagway and visitors start showing up in larger numbers, the Park Service plans to strengthen its bear safety outreach and education.
That is definitely on the top of our agenda.
Hayes says the outreach might include guest speakers and education for tour guides. He hopes next summer both people and bears will be safer in Skagway's bear country. Throughout Alaska, there are local organizations called community foundations that raise funds to support nonprofits. Recently, representatives from two statewide philanthropic organizations met with the Community Foundation in Haines to talk about upcoming changes to their partnership. KHNS's Abby Collins reports.
The work that the Chilkat Valley has done here in this community is remarkable.
Nina Kempel is the CEO of the Alaska Community Foundation.
Some of the grants that they've given out have really made just an amazing impact, and we just hope to support them in their efforts to continue to grow and continue to make a really lasting difference in their community.
The Alaska Community Foundation works closely with the Rasmussen Foundation to support development on a local level. The Community Asset Building Initiative is a partnership between the two organizations that began in 2008. They work with 9 affiliate community foundations around the state, providing back-end help like technical assistance and training to assist local fundraisers in growing. They help community foundations raise funds and distribute grants from those funds. And the Rasmussen Foundation provides money to match local donations. Now they're reviewing the best ways to foster growth in communities around the state. They came to Haines to meet with the Chilkat Valley Community Foundation. Kempel says they are moving into a new phase of the program.
The next phase entails relying even more strongly on the great work that the local community foundations do across the state.
Sammy Pokerfke is the senior vice president of the Rasmussen Foundation. She says they're not planning to make many huge changes.
To me, the biggest difference I think now is that each of the community foundation affiliates is at a different stage of development. And so what we hope to do is help them build on the strengths that they have that are unique to them.
Kempel says, with that in mind, they're working to make the partnership more flexible to adapt to the needs of individual communities.
So that we can actually design the right strategy for Chilkat Valley that works for them and motivates them and incents them and all the things that they do and do well. And then allow for the same kind of flexibility for some of our other affiliates have very different dynamics.
They will be introducing support for the addition of part-time staff members to help with local operations. And they'll provide operational endowments with the goal of making the individual organizations sustainable over time. Last year, the Chilkat Valley Community Foundation distributed $18,000 in grants to 14 organizations. Pokerfke says local affiliates do not necessarily need their help to be successful.
The truth is that the work that's being done here will likely happen with or without Rasmussen Foundation's involvement, but we believe so strongly that it's the right thing to do that we want to invest in that and help to make it even better.
The stop in Haines is the first. Kempel and Pokerfke are meeting with affiliate communities around the state like Petersburg, Ketchikan, and Sitka to discuss what's coming. Reporting in Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.